The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
Turn to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There's something that I would like to say about this that's very curious, always been curious in my mind. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Wasn't too long ago that I preached several sermons on the many or few, several times that the Apostle Paul and Peter said, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. If you haven't ever looked those places up, look them up, because it means you'll get a lot of good teachings. If they didn't want us to be ignorant about something, we ought to know what that was. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. And also recently, I've been in contact with a brother from Africa named Fanuel. And he asked me a question. He said, Brother Paul, what does the Spirit help us? It's a very elementary question, but the answer is not elementary. The answer is really all-inclusive of every aspect of our lives. But here, the Apostle Paul has the issue of spiritual gifts under consideration. Now, I have really never thought about or put together why the Apostle Paul says, all right, I'm going to talk to you about spiritual gifts. And the very next thing that he writes is, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Does that seem to fit? It don't seem to fit to me. It seems to me that he would just go on and skip on down to verse 4. But he didn't, did he? There's a reason why he inserted these two verses in here, and I want to talk about that for a minute, and then, like Paul did, get on with spiritual gifts. He says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Now, what is a dumb idol? A dumb idol is like that microphone right there. It has no voice of its own. It can't move unless someone moves it. And it has no power in and of itself. It must be moved upon by something else for it to move. It has to have a voice to speak into it for it to be magnified. That you understand. It's dumb. It can't speak on its own. Now, Paul says and reminds them that this is your former life. This is your former mode of worship, that you would take things and offer them to dumb idols. And then he says in verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Well, that makes sense, don't it? I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer, Paul. What did you say that for? He says, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. We've all used that in passing, but I've not really ever heard anybody preach on why it's here or really explain what it means. Now, I'm not setting myself up as the authority, you understand, but I think I understand a little bit about why Paul inserted it right here. He says, you remember that you were Gentiles led unto these dumb idols. That was your manner of life. Your mom and daddy did it. Their mom and daddy did it. And your great grandparents did it. And so you did it. That was your manner of life. It was your custom. And what was the custom of idol worship? That, have you ever seen them that where they would take chickens or little trinkets and offer them at the foot of an idol? Well, the idol can't do anything with the trinket or the chicken that you offer it. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do the idol any good. And it doesn't do anybody else any good. Amen? It's just sitting there rotten. That's what, and then he says, wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. That word is the key to the whole thing. Accursed mean is another word for it is korban or a gift. So Paul's saying, when you say that Jesus is a dead idol or a dumb idol or a thing offered to a dumb idol, you're not speaking by the Spirit of God in that, because Jesus is much more powerful than a dumb idol. That the dumb idol has no power of its own. It has no authority. It can't move on its own. But Jesus can. He's way more excellent and more powerful than anything that you could offer to a dumb idol. And he's not a dumb idol himself. And if you call Jesus accursed or a thing that's offered to an idol or a thing that's offered to anybody else or anything else, you're not doing it by the Spirit of God. What does that mean for us today, like where the rubber meets the road? That means that Jesus is not something that's offered to you. He was offered for you, not to you. And the thing that he was offered to was not a dumb idol. The thing he was offered to was God the Father on your behalf. And because of that, no man that says that Jesus was offered for any other purpose or any other way is not speaking by the Spirit of God. That's harsh, isn't it? Because there's a bunch of folks that lift Jesus up as a dumb idol. He can't do anything unless you let him. That's a dumb idol. I'm sorry, but it is. Because he offered himself to God one time. And that one offering was not as a dumb idol. That offering was powerful. That offering was effective. That offering was glorious. And Paul says, on the basis of the power of Jesus' offering to God, that's where he's laying that groundwork that Jesus is not powerless, and the thing that he was offered to is not powerless, it's God Almighty. I believe that that's right. Now, Paul says, now. I do that when I talk, don't you? I lay the foundation and I say, now. Paul says, now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Did you know that there are more gifts in the church than we think? He says, but every one of the gifts, they're diverse, okay? And yet at the basis of them all is the same Spirit. And then he says, and there are differences of administrations, or how you administer the gifts is different. And there's one person that uses his gift in one area to serve the church, and there's another person that has a different gift to serve in another area or capacity in the church. And he's not just talking about preachers and deacons. Amen. Do y'all agree with that?
Amen.
Bible agrees with it. Now, he says, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. You know that that is talking about, Paul says there's different gifts, there's different ways to use the gifts, and there's different operations that the gifts are supposed to be used for. He says how you operate the gift. Everybody don't do everything the same exact way, do they? If they did, all the preachers that preach to you would preach the same way. Every deacon that I've ever known, they do their deaconing in different ways. Every member of the church as part of the body has a different way of operating. They operate differently. You got it? Nobody, we're not just a flock of blackbirds in the church with all of us look all the same and everybody has the same personality and everybody does things exactly the same way. Paul says, no, that's not how it is. Paul, what's Paul really talking about is a diversity with unity. You got it? Diversity, yet with unity. That means that I'm a man and there are several men in here, there's several women here, there's several children in here. I love that. It's a diverse group. It could be more diverse. You never know. The Church of Corinth was very diverse, weren't they? If you read about their history, they were very diverse. And there were some churches back then that had both natural Jews and Gentiles among the same group. And it was that way at Church Corinth. It was that a lot of different churches were made up of Jews and Gentiles, weren't they? There are some churches that are made up of folks from all different backgrounds and different parts of life. And yet they have one and the self-same Spirit about them. You see? Not only just us as people, but Paul's talking about the gifts that God blessed the church with. Now, he says, there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. You see, if you offered things to a dumb idol, what profit would it be? If Jesus was a dumb idol, what profit would he be? He wouldn't profit you any. He wouldn't profit the idol any. And it wouldn't profit anybody else anything. See, Paul's talking really about these spiritual gifts for the purpose of profiting. He's not talking about making your wallet fat. He's talking about edifying the church. That's what he's talking about in profit. So, here he goes. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. You know, there are some people in church that are very wise, aren't they? There are some people that aren't. Have y'all ever known anybody that wouldn't? I have. I mean, I've probably been that person at a time, several times in my life. Not very wise. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Have you ever known folks that were in church and they just couldn't seem to grasp things? I mean, as far as knowledge, But there are some people that know a lot, aren't they? To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, is Paul saying that some people have faith and in the church, I mean, after being born of the Spirit, and some people don't? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying these people use their faith. So, have you ever seen that? That some people, just when they get knocked down by life, they don't seem to ever lose their faith in God. I mean, and strong faith. They actually live their life by faith, like Paul did. Paul says, nevertheless, I'm crucified with Christ. Yet I live. Yet not I, but the grace of God that's in me. He said, yet the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. There are some people that don't live by faith, yet they have faith. Available, that it's given to them when they're born again by the Spirit, but they don't seem to be those warriors of faith that you hear about that just bless my soul when I see them. Have you ever known people that, man, you just, they're like a great example for you? And then you have those faith, those people that are, we read of in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the wall of faith or hall of faith that we call it. And they talk about those great men like Noah and Moses and Abraham and all of those great figures. And then Paul says in chapter 12, in effect, Paul says, seeing we're compassed about also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight like they did. Because you know what? As great as they were and as great as their faith was, it's not going to do you any good right now unless you use it for yourself, right? Abraham's faith doesn't do me any good every day, does it you? I'm glad to know that it's in there, and I can receive comfort to know that as God was with him, God would be with me. But in reality, Abraham's faith didn't do me much good. But I can record, I remember that it's recorded that Abraham's faith, as far as a working definition of faith, he said that, Paul said that he knew that whatever God promised, he was also able to perform. Now that's my working definition of faith. It's a big subject. But have you ever seen people that had great faith and then you just seem to falter and not trust in God as much? Join yourselves to the people and learn from the others that have great faith and begin to exercise it for yourself. Now, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. You see how diverse this group is here and how diverse the gifts are? And he says it's all based in the same Spirit of God. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, what does that tell me? If you read the scriptures and try to mull it over, meditate upon it, you'll realize that every man has a gift. Every person in the church has a gift, right? I thought about some of this stuff yesterday as we were ordaining Brother Adam to the work and office of a deacon. And I thought about how it's not just his job to take care of everything in the church. It's not the deacon's job to take care of everything. It's not the pastor's job to take care of everything. Every person in this church has a job to do. And a gift to open for the church.
That's right.
One of them is, and I'm so thankful for it, whoever put this up here, thank you for exercising your duty in the church. It might seem like a small thing to you. Sorry, I got some ice. It might seem like a small thing to you, but it's not a small thing to the minister who needs it. You understand? Small thing, but such a blessing. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So we are members of the body of Christ. This arm is one of the members of the body of Paul. Okay? This is another member. My eye, my ear is another member. My feet are another member. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's another way how the Spirit helps, isn't it? By one Spirit, we're baptized into one body. There should be no diversity. Not this wrong word. There should be no schism or separation in the body of Christ when they're all traveling with the Spirit. Right? If it's the same Spirit that puts you in here, we all ought to be working together. Have a common goal. Have a common way to get it done as a unified. We ought to do that. Now, he says, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We've been made to drink into one Spirit, right? If we've been baptized by one Spirit, we've all been made to drink in that one Spirit. Now Paul really gets down to it. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, that's a rhetorical question. We all know the answer. No, it's not part of the body. It is part of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. See, diversity with unity. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Do you see what the Apostle Paul did here? The Apostle Paul looked at this from two different attitudes, right? Did you catch it? He says, oh, I'm not the eye. I'm not part of the body because I'm not the eye. That's an attitude that my gift is not going to be of any benefit to the church because I'm not the best one, or I'm not the eye, or I'm not the hand, and I'm not going to be of any benefit to the church because I'm not it. That's a wrong attitude to have. Paul said it. He ripped them up for having that attitude that I don't have anything to contribute. That's what he's saying in the first part of that. And the second part of it is the person that says, I don't need anybody else. I can do it myself. Paul ripped them up too, didn't he? Two different attitudes. Paul, You see it? Do y'all get that? Do y'all get the two different attitudes Paul's excoriating here? He says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. But how many times have you seen that in churches? I can do it all myself. I don't need any help. I don't need you. I got this. Have y'all ever seen that happen in churches? I have. I've probably been that person at time or two. I'm sad to say. I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You know, number one, we ought not to have either one of these attitudes. We ought not to have the attitude that we don't have anything to contribute to the body. And we ought not to have the attitude that I'm the only one that does anything around here. I don't need anybody else. You see, none of those two attitudes ought to be right concerning spiritual gifts or in the church. Now, he goes on, I want to tell y'all something, because Paul's really talking about a functioning body here, right? I'm a therapist, occupational therapist, and I work with kids and have for years. I enjoy it. I love it. I love the kids. And they bring all manner of children to me that are disabled. And I have worked with all different kinds of physical and mental disabilities in children. And there is, it's amazing that any of us, as far as development, it's amazing that any of us turn out to be a functioning body. Really, it really is. There is something called motor planning or praxis. And the head, just in a general way, I don't want to get too technical, but in a general way, the head contains the brain, right? It sends out the signals to the muscles and the nerves, and the nerves give it feedback to get a job done. Now, there are some phases that have to happen in this, and you've got the ideation of what needs to be done. Then you've got the physical ability to do it, and then you got to have the coordination right to get it done between your both hands. And then your eyes give how perceive what was done and gives your brain feedback. Was it done right? And all that happens just like that. It's amazing how the body works. It's amazing, really. Now, I worked with this kid, well, a bunch of kids, but this one in particular one time. And I was evaluating him, and his mama was in there, and I told him to sit down in the chair. And I'm not joking. There's not a chair right here. But I'm going to show you how that boy went to do it. He looked at it for a minute, trying to figure out how he wanted it done. And then he went to it, and he went, and he put his knees in it like that. And he knew that wasn't right. And he said, no. And he looked at it again. And then he stood. He put his foot up there and stood. And he said, no, that's not right. Then he went backwards, back to the back of the chair, and he tried to put his foot there. He said, no, that's not right. And then in a minute, he sat down and finally figured it out how it was going to be done. But he had an idea of what he wanted to do, but he didn't know how to make his body do it. You see that? He knew what he wanted to do, but he couldn't do it right. Now, that was a dysfunctional system. Wasn't working properly. And the thing that you have to help them with is to figure out how their body works together to get the job done, and to know how that's supposed to happen before they start. You see? He didn't figure it out before he started to sit down. He knew what he wanted to do. He could do it, but he couldn't put it all together. Y'all see that? That's a dysfunctional body. Paul's talking about a dysfunctional body here. Oh, I can't contribute, or oh, I don't need anybody else. Paul's talking about that right here. He's saying we need to use the gifts that the Spirit has given us as unified yet different, working together to be a functioning body of Christ. Do y'all see that? It's a great, great part of Scriptures right here. He says, and whether, he says that there should be, well, he says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For if our comely parts have no, for our comely parts, our beautiful parts, have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. You see? No division in the body, no cut, no brokenness. But that all members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And I tell you, it's been about 6-7 years ago now, after our fellowship meeting, after being, you know, at church all day Friday, all day Saturday, and then Sunday evening, it was, or maybe Saturday evening. It was Saturday evening. After being tired and entertaining preachers at the house and Sonya cooking and all that kind of stuff, we were building the house, and I don't know why in the world I wanted to do this, but after services on Saturday night, I thought, I've got to get some trim cut, some crown molding, so I put on my overalls, and I started working. And I cut my thumb, part of my thumb off on the table saw up there, and I'm telling you, it still bothers me. It's still numb. And buttoning buttons was hard for a long time. You see what happened? This member made the other member work twice as hard because this member was not performing as expected. This member had to work double. Now imagine if I'd cut my whole arm off, how hard it would be for me to function properly and efficiently. Well, I can button buttons now, but I still have a hard time picking up real small stuff. Are y'all understanding that, how that applies to the body of Christ? Even the smallest of injuries and dysfunction affects the whole body. But if every member, and it is present, every member is performing as expected, executing the spiritual gifts that the Spirit got, then it is a more functioning body at that point. And he says, when one member suffers, all of them suffer because they're not able to exercise their spiritual gift. We just lost our oldest deacon. Name was Brother Howard Jowers, 97 years old. Very wise man. will be sorely missed. I can tell you that man in his older days was not able to be the hands or the feet anymore in the church, but he still had a gift, and the gift that he imparted was wisdom. You see that? He still contributed to the body of Christ. We still were able to rejoice with him. I know our other younger deacon would go to him and ask him questions. And he would talk to him and tell him, saying, I tell you what, I've learned a lot of wise things from that man. Just because he's old doesn't mean that he needs to be put out to pasture. Because even the most uncomely parts are needful for the body. Even as young as the children in here today, they can be part of the body because they have a functioning part to offer. And those of you who are in the middle are bearing the brunt of the load of doing, don't ever think that either one of those don't have a part to play. I tell you, the body of Christ is a big subject. We don't want to be a local body here or any local body. We don't want to be like that boy that I worked with, do we? We don't want to see what needs to be done, but nobody ever do it or try it and can't really ever figure out why it's not working. We need to be a functional body of Christ. All the members, as diverse as you are, as we are, exercising our spiritual gifts to the edifying of the body. You know, we think, if y'all ever, I know y'all know this, if you see somebody inflicting pain upon themselves or cutting themselves or, you know, self-abusive, what do we think about those folks? We think they're messed up in the head. Right? They're not thinking straight. Well, who's your head? Our head is Christ. He always thinks straight, don't he? The Spirit always gives us the right impulses, the right direction, the right, and when I said impulses, I meant nerve impulses going down through the body. The Spirit always gives us the right thing. How we respond to that as the body of Christ for her edification matters. Ain't got it? I don't know why I had a mind to say some of these things this morning. Maybe it was because Brother Adam yesterday in ordination. But I pray that God would bless you here at Macedonia Church and anywhere else, anybody else that's out there that may be a part of a different body of Christ. I want to admonish you and encourage you that if you don't know what your gift is, pray about it, figure it out, and exercise it to the best of your ability, understanding that it's one Spirit that gave it to you, one Spirit that you're using it in, and one Spirit to help you exercise it. God's not going to give you something, number one, that He doesn't expect you to use, and that He doesn't give you the ability to strengthen. I'm done. God bless you. God bless I love you.
God bless you, Brother Paul.
And I thank you
I
for
that more than anybody.
God bless you, Brother Joe. thank you so much for the invitation to come down. I told y'all yesterday, it feels like home to me. And it is. And I thank God for it. May the Lord bless us all, not just you, all of us, to exercise our spiritual gift. And I do want to say this before I go. Some people have more than one. Amen. He's the pastor over there. He preaches every Sunday. That's not his only job. That's not his only job. He's supposed to be praying too, isn't he? He's not the only one that's supposed to pray. You are too, aren't you? There are some gifts that the whole church has and is expected to do. We ought to be doing that, but we also ought to be thinking about that one thing that we are really good at, that we can edify the body with. I love you. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.